said, hey, you can have all this. There was a modernist preacher that was talking to his friends one day, and he said, you know, I'm not afraid of the devil. But then one of his friends said to him, but is the devil afraid of you? That's the big question here. It's not whether we're afraid of the devil or not. Is the devil afraid of us? Are we a threat to his kingdom? Are we the light of Jesus Christ in a dark and evil world? When we look around and we see the things that happen in our world, are we the light of Jesus Christ? And is Satan afraid of us? See, we'll be tested just as Jesus did. Our lives will be tested. And we can only overcome them by knowing the Word of God. Now, there are some important things in this story that I want to point out. The first thing is this. It said, again, the devil took him. The devil took him to the highest point. You see, the devil is relentless. He's hardworking. He was not going to give up on Jesus. He was thought that he could tempt Jesus. And then the second thing is he showed him all the splendor of the world. And he says, you can have all this. I'll give it to you. But it wasn't Satan's to give. He was hoping that Jesus would reject God and would worship him. And Jesus said, no way. And he quotes scripture once again. And then after he quotes scripture, notice what he says. He says, get away from me. And the version I have, the Bible I have on the pulpit right now, says, get out of here, Satan. Sometimes we have to do that in our prayer life. Sometimes we have to recognize that the enemy is blocking and making a wall between us and our God. And that's why we can't sense God. That's why we can't feel God. The enemy is there and he's putting pressure. And what we have to do is to say, get away, Satan, get out of here in the name of Jesus. The next thing that we notice about this story is that the devil left him after Jesus stood up to him. And the angels came afterwards and attended to him. So no matter what we go through, how difficult life may get, you may be going through all hell right now. Jesus is going to come at the end of your trial, what you're going through, and he's going to strengthen you, he's going to comfort you, and his angels are all around you right now, ministering to you and protecting you, whether you know it or not. There's angels everywhere. There's probably angels in this room right now. Matter of fact, I took a survey at my last church. I asked how many people thought that the building was haunted. And I think I'll take the same survey here, because sometimes when you're in this building by yourself, you hear people walking around, and you hear people talking, and you hear music. You hear singing. In the last church, it was a lot like that. You say, boy, our preacher's going off the deep end now. Now, I'm talking about the spiritual reality, that we live in a spiritual realm just as much as we live in a physical realm, and there's a war going on spiritually, and we need to be aware of it. And so I asked the last church, how many of you think, because there's a church that had many revivals, so you think it's haunted, because we would have overnighters, and we'd have freeze-outs, and the young boys would spend the night there, and some of the men, it was really neat to see the new men who were new converts to Christ get up in the middle of the night, looking around for where the music's coming from, and they can't find it, because it was a choir ahead of the angels. There's angels all around us, and there's also the dark forces, the fallen angels, the demonic that would try to influence them. But isn't it great to know that God's angels outnumber the evil angels, the demons that are around us? How did I get off there? I don't know. But let's go on to number one in our notes. Believe that the resurrection of the Lord has put Satan to shame. You see, Satan thought he had won. When that last nail was pounded into Jesus' hand, he thought for sure he had won. And when they put Jesus in the tomb and they sealed it and it was shut and he was dead for 2 days, Satan was just marching around and he was happy. He was having a party. He thought he was won. And then Jesus ascended from the dead. And this is what Jesus said, because nothing could hold him in the grave. Jesus said, I am the living one, and I was dead. And behold, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of hell and of death. Aren't you glad that Jesus holds the keys of hell and of death? I love this verse in Colossians. That's referring to what Jesus has done to our enemy. Colossians 2:15 says this, and having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. The thing that Satan thought was going to defeat Jesus was the thing that Jesus beat Satan over the head with. It's the empty cross. Praise God. Jesus put Satan to shame. And Satan is totally embarrassed when he sees an empty cross. That's what I like about this church. We have empty crosses everywhere. There's one there, there's one there, there's three over there. You go down the hallway, you see some more. And every time Satan sees an empty cross, he's embarrassed. And it's a reminder to him of how he's totally destroyed and he has no power over the church of Jesus Christ. The only power he has in our life is the power that we allow him to have. We make room for him to come in. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is a reminder to Satan of his future. And it's not a good one. It's a very grim one, isn't it? And every time that Satan reminds you of your past or reminds you of things that you have done, all you have to do is remind him about his future and his future demise. Don't you love it? Oh, praise God. Oh, sometimes as Methodists, we don't talk about these things. We talk about a nice Jesus. We don't talk about the Jesus who was tempted. We don't talk about the Jesus who threw people out of the temple. We want to serve a nice Jesus, but our Jesus is a great warrior. Our Jesus is coming back, and he's coming back as a lion of Judah that's going to break every chain of sin and darkness and death and hell and demonic forces. He's going to rule and reign forever, and it says that his church is going to reign with him. You and I are going to reign. Man, we better get ourselves ready. Some of us are not tuned up like we should be, getting ready for our reign that's to come. Praise God. The devil has no future, no hope, and that's exactly what he wants to give you. The thoughts and the feelings of no hope and no future for your life. But in Jesus we have a hope and a future. Even in the Old Testament, the prophet Jeremiah said in verse 29:11, many of you know it, God says, I don't have plans to harm you, but I have plans to give you a hope and a future. Aren't you glad for that? I like what it says in the scripture in Hebrews 2:14. It says, because God's children are human beings, that's you and I, made of flesh and blood, the Son, Jesus Christ, also became flesh and blood. For only as a human being could he die. And only by dying could he break the power of the devil who had the power of death. Notice who had the power of death. Past tense. Satan did. He no longer has it. Jesus Christ now has the keys of hell and of death. And if that doesn't get you excited, that should get you more excited than beating Stanbury in basketball. I mean, I see some of you crazy yelling and screaming. The creator of the universe has defeated death, defeated hell, defeated every disease. And he's my savior and your savior. And if that doesn't stir something up in you, God help you. Amen. You need to get revived. I need to get revived. Praise God. Yeah, you clap in the church. Give God a hand. Wow. That's pretty weak. Your future is bright in spite of your family background. Your future is bright in spite of your parents who are pretty lousy. Some of you. Your future is bright even because of your bad choices that you've made. Because you've got Jesus, your future is bright even though you're going through a difficult situation right now. You shall win. That's an old chorus that we used to sing. We win, hallelujah, we win. I read the end of the book, and we win. It may not feel like it, it may not look like you're winning now, but we win. We already have the victory in Jesus Christ. What is the resurrection? It is an area beyond the touch of death. It's a realm. It's a sphere. It's an orbit beyond the reach of death. And over 70 million Christians were willing to lay down their life for this resurrection. 70 million since, it's estimated since the time of Christ, have died for their faith in Jesus Christ. And just from the year 2000 to the year 2010, nearly a million Christians have been killed for their faith in Jesus Christ. We know that it has accelerated since 2010. Between the year 2010 and 2017, it probably is going to be, by the time we hit the year 20, it's going to probably be 2 million or 3 million. Why would people lay down their life for some fancy story about Jesus if he's not real, if he's not the resurrection and the life? People are willing to die for this faith in Jesus Christ. Are you that close to him that you know that you would be willing to die for him? See, in this country, it's easy. We can come and go to church whenever we feel like it. Hey, if I got something better to do, I'm going to do that. Oh, preach it, pastor. Oh, you have to be here. You get paid to do it. Well, no, there's been times I haven't been pastoring. I don't know how some people do it. I need to be in the house of God with the people of God, around the Word of God, being filled up with the promises of God in order to serve God, in order to make a victorious life in God. We need one another. We need the body of Christ. Amen. That's free. That wasn't in the message. Everything living in the world is within the touch of death. Men die. Plants die. Animals die. But Jesus gives us this astounding statement. And truth. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will never die. Notice he says, I am the resurrection. It's not like I'm going to be your resurrection. Like in the future, when you die, then I'll take you to heaven. No, he is your resurrection right now. You can have resurrection power and resurrection influence and resurrection presence in your life, in my life right now, because he is present tense, I am. Notice it doesn't say he was the resurrection. And it's a historical thing. He says, I am the resurrection of life. He who believes in me will never die. And then he puts a punchline at the end of it. He said to his disciples, do you believe this? If we believe it, then we should start living it. Amen. I knew I would get an amen for that one. Believe, number two, believe that the blood of the Lord has overcome the attacks of Satan. How do we overcome Satan instead of him overcoming us? It's because of the blood of Jesus Christ. He was the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. His blood is what saves us. Before it was goats and lambs. But his blood is the special blood that saves to the utmost. Get ready to take on the enemy. I have never passed a church where it didn't start to grow and revival started to take place where all hell didn't break loose. If you want to see this church grow and you want to see people get saved, get ready for some things to happen. Things will hit the lid. People will get mad at one another. People will make false accusations. Because that's Satan at work. He's the accuser of the brethren. It says in Revelation chapter 12 that he accuses the brothers and the sisters before the Lord day and night. He's always, just like with Job, going before the throne, trying to accuse you and then make you feel guilty that you're not good enough, that you're not one of his. And when you finally have a reviving moment and you come to life in Christ, he's not going to like that. He doesn't like churches that are light on fire. He wants to shut them off and cut them down. There's some churches, I don't think the devil ever shows up. Doesn't need to. They're no threat. Where's this all coming from? It's not in my notes. Oh, God is a powerful God. The scripture says, in other words, if you want to draw your gun, you want to take it down on in a showdown, get ready and draw your gun. Revelation 12:11 says, they, talking about us, overcame it by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. They were having a celebration in Zaire, Africa. The church had been there 80 years. Before that, it was just tribes that were pagan. And they were having a celebration because the church was there, it was strong. And one of the elders, who was almost 100 years old, asked permission to say something to the multitude of people that were at that gathering that day. And out of respect, because he was an elder, and he was a tribal chief at one time, they let him get up and speak. He says, I'm going to tell you something that no one's ever heard and we've never told anybody before. And I'm the last one alive to be able to tell you this. What I'm going to tell you, we've never told anybody before. But when the missionaries from America first came over here to Africa, we were poisoning them secretly. And he said, it wasn't how they lived that convinced us to follow Jesus. It was how they died. Because it was their children that would die first because they were weak and their systems couldn't take the poison. Instead of leaving and going back to America, they stayed here even when their children died over and over and over again and kept telling us about this power that is found in Jesus Christ and kept sharing the love of Jesus Christ. It wasn't how they lived for Jesus that convinced us. It was how they died. It's because they knew that Jesus Christ is a resurrection. I have eternal life right now. If for some reason the lightning was to strike me today, or I would have a heart attack right now, and that would be one of my favorite ways to go while I'm preaching, is to just drop dead while I'm preaching, and none of you know what to do. I want to go up the pulpit. Lord, take me now. Take me home. Hallelujah. Slay me right down there. Maybe he thinks that he's faking. He's doing one of his stupid tricks. I would love that to happen. I know that I'd be in the presence of the Lord, to be asking from the bodies to be present with the Lord, because I know Jesus. He's a close friend of mine, and he is the resurrection and the life, and he lives within me. Praise God. So you see, today, even the weakest of us can overcome the devil, for every one of us has the blood of Jesus Christ. Watchman Nee, a great Christian author, said this, you may not have many other things, but the blood you definitely do have. Through the blood of Jesus Christ, you naturally declare that all your sins have been cleansed. Today, God is your God. If God is for you, who can be against you? Oh, amen. That is so true. Let's go on. Our next point is this. Believe that the ascension of the Lord has transcended the power of Satan. See, Jesus Christ has transcended all things. Transcend means rise above. Read the book of Colossians sometime. He's risen above all things. Now here's a great verse that you're going to want to look up and highlight in your Bible or put it somewhere. But it's Ephesians 2:6, and it says this, talking about us as his followers, his people. We too were raised up with him and were made to sit with him in heavenly places. Notice it's not future tense. Notice it's not, it's past tense, has already happened, and it is happening now. That we are seated in heavenly places with him right now. If Jesus Christ truly is your Lord, not just Savior, see, some of us have made him Savior. We just want a ticket. We want to get by the skin of our teeth and get into heaven. We just want a Savior. But if he's Lord and he's master of our life, which he's called us to be his followers, then we are seated in heavenly places with him. Don't give up your seat. It's almost like people in church, they don't like to give up their seat, do they? I don't have no problem. No one ever takes my seat. No one wants to sit here. But a lot of Christians are giving up their heavenly sheep. We too were raised up with him and were made to sit with him in the heavenly places. The question then is not victory, for Satan is already defeated. The Lord is overcome. The church is overcome. The conflict between the church and Satan is to protect the Lord's victory, not to win it. Our aim is not to wrestle victory from Satan, but rather to keep victory from being robbed. I want to end with this. This is something that you may have to do when you're going through a horrible time. When you feel like you're drowning spiritually, in depression, problems are arising, grief has stricken you so much, and the enemy will come in like a flood and he will tell you, you're weak, you're worthless. He'll come in every way and accuse you of everything possible. What you need to do is say something like this. I stand before Satan and I declare to him, you are already defeated. You are finished. I am now in heavenly places. I defy you and I resist you. You coming at me today is not permitted. How many days have I, Gene Henderson, let the enemy come in like a flood? I permitted him to come in and lie to me and rob me of my joy, the joy of my salvation, and live in dark, dismal depression when all I had to do was tell Satan to get out. Right? He can't succeed when we stand up against him. He will flee. In James it says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. But a lot of people forget to quote the beginning part of that verse. Submit yourself unto God. Don't try to resist the devil on your own. You need to do it through the blood of Jesus Christ, through the word of God, and through your testimony. And then he has to flee. And you know you're in good standing when you see the devil's back. He's running away from you. But don't be afraid to face him head on either. And just speak to him and say, get out of here. Just as Jesus had to do. The human part of Jesus was tested and tried, and so will we, because we were made in his image and in his likeness. Pray with me. Lord, today I pray that this message will give someone victory. Someone has been oppressed. Someone has been depressed. Someone today has felt worthless, alone, wondering if they can even make it to the next week or so. And then there's others here today that are totally deceived. They don't see a problem at all, and they're just going to live their life the way they want to live it. I pray, Lord, that you will break through into both of these kinds of people's lives that are in this room today. Show them exactly who you are, your great power and your presence. Overwhelm them. And as we sing this next song, Victory in Jesus, they will take that victory. They will live it to the extreme and the utmost. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.
We serve a powerful, victorious, almighty, glorious, forgiving, excellent, totally awesome God. Receive the blessing today, and I pray that you go out different than when you came in, changed and transformed, ready to have more zeal and fire to serve the Lord. Lord, I bless your people today with zeal of their spirit and soul, with courage and boldness, and with a revelation that they now have resurrection life, now in Jesus Christ. And I bless them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Yeah.